You know, I was saying to myself yesterday, and I say a lot of things to myself yesterday, I said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we had the same number of fingers as we have number of toes? And then I realized, hey, we actually do.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm serious, I'm not kidding. You better be ready for this. You better be ready. I'm going to talk for 45 minutes at least. Today's subject matter is hairballs. I am sick of coughing them up. Welcome to the program. My name is Ron Van Dam. How are you? What a concept. If you've never listened to this show before, then fuck you, because I've been doing this for a long time, and I don't know where the hell you've been, to be honest with you. And no, I don't do great. I don't do great amount of advertising. I'm not Mr. Social Media Man. I don't even know what that is. I have 4 or 5 Facebook accounts. I don't even know how many I have, because every time I open up a Facebook account, I realize that I screwed something up and I better start another one. I can't get rid of the one that I made up. And by the time I try to get one of the ones I made up, I got like 500 friends. So now, between all my sites, I have like 5,000-6,000 friends. But I don't know how now to brown cow. I don't know how to marry them together. I don't know how to marry my friends. That's pretty much what I'm saying to you. So I don't know how that works. I'm Facebooked out. I'm Facebooked out. Now I'm Facebooked. I sound like an old Jewish man who doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm all Facebooked out. I tell you, I'm Facebooked out. I visited a good number of my Facebook accounts yesterday by default, because I was so freaking bored all day. I like football, but I don't like football. You know, I'm like one of those people. I wouldn't dare talk about football to somebody else. So, Matt, here's the funny thing. I went to a club, and I was sitting down. I was talking to the bartender, and this was before the Patriots game on Saturday. The Patriots hadn't played yet. And for those of you who may not be familiar, the Patriots are a bunch of guys running around with guns thinking they're going to start a revolutionary war. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm talking to the guy, and he's mixing me drinks and things, which is what when I go to a bar, I sit down at the bar stool, and I say to the bartender, mix me some drinks. Keep, bar keep. And he does. He just mixes me drinks. And I drink them. Starts talking about the Patriots and how they'll be in shape, and he talks about the stats and how they match up with other teams. And I so much felt like saying to him, shut up. I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. I don't even know. Are you speaking Chinese or something? Because I don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about these people who play this game, and I don't know these people. You talk about them like you know them intimately. You know all the sports injuries. That's sick. Okay, let me tell you something. A grown man standing behind a bar shouldn't know about another man's injuries that he's never met before. That's a little awkward. I mean, please. I don't care. When I'm watching the game, sometimes it's entertaining. If it's a close game, it's entertaining. And it's entertainment for me. Do I get into their personal lives and who they beat up that morning, which girlfriend they locked in a closet and tied up? I don't care about that stuff. tie up anybody you want. It's not my business. I don't know these football. They murder people. They beat their wives. Have you noticed football players? There are no women. There are no female football players. Is that a sexist sport or what? I don't know of any female football teams, any professional female football teams. I know there are professional female basketball teams. I know that. But I think there are some female softball teams because, you know, women can't play regular baseball. The balls are too hard. That's what she said. Oh, stop with that stupid joke. That's what she said. Everything is that's what she said. All right, I get it. It's very funny. It can be applied to almost every sentence, and then we always laugh. I get it. But I don't know of any female professional football team, so I find that whole sport very sexist and very, very strange, and it's just full of criminals. Anyway, this guy is talking about, and I felt like, shut up, just pour my drink and shut up. Can we talk about something else? Like, oh, man, like, how do you feel about the presidential election isn't it horrible, some of those sidewalks? They have cracks in them and you could fall down. Let's talk about something important, you know, something about our feelings, you know. Tell me, barkeeper, how do you feel about love? Do you think love is a horrible thing that is only out to hurt you, or something that you can embrace and always accept no matter what the consequences? They don't talk about that stuff. I don't either, to be honest with you. I have on occasion, after a few of those drinks. But usually I don't do that either. But I'm more prone to talk about that than I am about how a guy throws a ball or catches a ball, as if this is the most important thing in the world. I mean, people get nervous about, they're not even playing the game. People wear the uniforms of the players and they don't even play. If you ever look at the crowd at a Patriots football game, they're all dressed up and they're wearing Patriots jerseys. Jerseys or shirts, by the way, for those of you who aren't from New Jersey. They're wearing like the number 12 or the number 88. I don't know who wears these things. 86? I don't know what it is. But they're wearing it, and I guess it's an homage to them in case they ever die. I don't understand why the common pedestrian who's sitting at a football game feels that they have to dress up like the people that are playing the game. To me, that's like a clothing fetish problem. I would say, ooh, pretty kinky. Thank goodness you're not going to Victoria's Secret and dressing up like, you know? Why do we have to dress up like the football players? What do you think that you're going to sit in the stands and the coach is going to turn around and say, you're in the third row wearing the number 86. You're next. Come on. Get on the field. Come on. You're all dressed for it. Get on the field. Here's a helmet. And why don't pedestrians, as they're wearing the football jerseys, why don't they wear the football helmets too? Why don't you walk around all day wearing a football helmet? Then you can really feel like the player to which you so admire, to which you live and you breathe through a guy that catches a ball and then runs with it. Do you know why the guy who catches the ball runs with it? Because the other people are after his fucking ass. That's why they're chasing him down. If he stops, he's going to get pummeled. He's going to get attacked, and he's going to get beaten to the ground. You better run with that ball, baby. That's the whole game. That's the whole game. I better get out of here before those people chasing me catch me. That's the whole game. Even the quarterback, they snap the ball to him. I think it's called a snap. Oh, snap. They snap the ball to him, and he goes, whoa, I've got the ball now. Whoa. And look, here's all these people in different colored clothing running toward me. Whoa. I better throw it to somebody else. I'll throw it to somebody who is dressed just like me because that's most familiar. And then they'll go chasing him. If he were smart, if the quarterback were smart, he would throw the ball to someone wearing a colored shirt that is different than his. That would really screw them up. And then the guy who caught the ball would go, whoa, I got to get out of here, and he would start running. I always thought that the best job at a football game is the water boy. And here they're not as sexist because I've seen water girls. And I don't know... I have no idea what the audition is like to be a water boy or a water girl. Do you have to be named Jack or Jill? Do you have to fetch it up a hill? I don't know the requirements for this. I'd like to be water boy for the Patriots. I'm sorry. You just don't have what it takes. What do you mean? I've seen you carry water in a bucket. Not impressive, man. Not too impressive. And the way that you, we're going to audition, I want to see how you hand a cup to a football player. That's key in the water boy job. You got to know just how to hand the cup over to the football player. Well, I did it in high school. That's high school, man. That's high school. I'm talking about the professional league. Handing over a cup of water to a professional football player. You don't know how to do it. Don't you come in here. Don't you come in here and think that you can just do it. Because it's not that easy. Dude, get off your high horse. Some people are water boys and water girls for decades before they ever make it to the professional leagues. And of course, to be water boy for the Patriots, I believe, is like $5 million a year. I think that's the annual salary because that's what they pay. That's their pay scale on everything. That's what the Patriots pay for. You know, they should be running the country. How much are you going to pay the guy to catch the ball and run with it? $30 million. Do you think that's fair? How about that? $31 million? I don't know. What do you think is fair to catch a ball and run with it? What do you think, $31 million? Maybe that's 30 million and a half per year. Yeah, and we'll guarantee that for 5 years. How about that? Like, so the value of that would be like $15 million at least. Maybe it'll be more. How about $60 million? Is that fair? Because the guy that throws the ball, he's getting like $100 million every 3 years. So we got him. So the water boy, we're going to have to cut him down to $6 million a year. I'm sorry. Because we just don't have the money. Here is an idea. See that guy over there? The guy that is kicking cans all over the place. You know, looks really depressed. He's just walking around kicking cans. Give him like $17 million. Tell him to kick that ball through those little poles there. Through the pole. Yeah, fine. Give him $17 million. What the hell? I don't know. Now, I'm going to pay you to be the trainer of the New England Patriots. Here's what I want you to do. When a player falls down on the field in writhing pain, what I want you to do for $17 million a year is to quickly run out onto the field, kneel down by his side, on your knees, I know it's going to hurt. Kneel on your knees by his side and just stand there until he gets up. And if he does get up, then you put one arm under his armpit and you help him off the field. Okay, can you do that for $17 million? Okay, good. Now, then when you get him on the bench, what I want you to do is take his knee and just flex it back and forth a little bit and then go home. I mean, it's really all we need you for. If the guy's really hurt, he'll see the team doctor. So that's really it for you. That's all I want you to do. All right. Now, who's auditioning for the part of the equipment guy? You? Okay. What experience do you have as an equipment guy? Okay. Yeah. Right. What I want you to do is just make sure we have enough equipment and it's always available. That's it. I mean, I'll give you $36 million a year for that. Okay. You be the equipment guy and not a big deal. Anybody can do it. Yeah, I know anybody can do it, but you were here, and so we gave it to you because we don't have time to audition people for this. Okay. Now, Patriot cheerleaders, I want you to line up here. Okay. No, the only requirement is you have to be over 3 feet tall and have some tits. The first 10 of you, fine, whatever. Put on these skimpy little Revolutionary War costumes. And you're going to look like you're doing a porno from, from like 1776. Yeah. And just dress in a skimpy little outfit. Stand outside in 0 degree weather till your nipples get extremely hard. And line them up and, do that for a couple hours and go home. And we'll have a practice every once in a while where we'll measure the jiggleability of your bosoms. And you got it, man. You got it. Do you know the New England Patriot cheerleaders and most cheerleaders, you can only be a cheerleader for a couple of years and then you have to move on? Yes, because it is so demanding. It's such a demanding job. I mean, you have to shake the pom-pom sometimes, and they can weigh up to 3 pounds apiece. I mean, whoa. It's a grueling job. Some of these women retire. Well, they have to retire after 3 years, after two, 3 years. That's required retirement. And some of them are just, they're in the hospital the rest of their lives with knee surgery. And it's just a horrible, horrible, the Patriot cheerleaders. I mean, thank you for your service, because that's, and thank you for your cervix, basically, is what I'm saying to you, because that is a tough, tough job. That's almost as tough as Vanna White, who I believe gets something like $3 or $5 million a year for standing there and turning letters over. I mean, she ain't no Patriots cheerleader. That's a tough, tough job. But I'm telling you, these things are not easy. So just be happy that you don't have to go through any of that.
Here's what the internet is good for. Porn. 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 Really weird porn. Porn. Funny cat videos. Porn. And the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. You know, when you need a little break from all those funny cat videos. Those things can really do a number on your wrist.
Hey, I'm Ron Van Dam. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Kind of makes sense. Don't want to confuse you. Don't want to confuse you. Do you know what? Okay, you don't. As I sit here outside my studio window, it is actually snowing out. Yeah, snow, 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 snow. Yes, no. It's snowing outside. It sucks. I don't know why I'm here, to be honest with you. I could do this job from any place in the world, actually. I could be sitting in a deli somewhere in Tel Aviv if I wanted to. Not that I do, okay? But if I wanted to, I could do this from the Wailing Wall. That's that wall, I think, in Jerusalem or Israel or something, or wherever it is. I don't really even know. I've never been to it. The Wailing Wall is pictures of all these people that have caught whales. And it's very impressive. Very, very impressive. Because it's not easy to catch a whale. You can't just, it's not like football where you just catch a ball. Catching a whale is like, when they throw that whale at you, it is not easy to catch. It is not easy to catch. I used to get these flyers in the mail asking me to save the whales, and I would always write back and say, I don't have room in my house for that. I couldn't even save one whale. I just don't have room. My closet is full, and I let someone else save them. And if you do save the whales, are they worth more, like years down the road when you cash them in? I don't understand how that works. I was never interested in collecting anything at all. I never was interested in collecting stamps. I never saw the point of that. I thought the only purpose of a stamp was to mail a letter, but apparently they go up in value if they're unused and they're really old. Which is starting to be what my body is like, unused and old. Ooh, that's funny. I would never save a stamp. I just I'd be embarrassed. If someone said to me, Ron, what do you do as a hobby? I'd say, oh, nothing. Nothing. I understand you save stamps. Oh, no, that's not me. That's stupid. I would not save. Well, then what are these things? It's my stamp collection. Oh, God. Oh, God. I would never save. What's the point of saving a stamp? Put it on an envelope and be a man. Man up. Grow some balls. Grow some balls. I hate that expression, grow some balls. First of all, you're insinuating that I don't have any testicles whatsoever, and I can prove you wrong. It's just that you don't want to be shown how wrong you really are. I have some balls, and they're also big enough. If they were any bigger, they would hurt my corduroy pants. So, or my corduroy pants would hurt them. It's a mutual thing. So, no, my balls are big enough. Thank you very much. I mean, they don't say that to women, you know, like, oh, are you scared of that? Grow some tits, will you? They don't say that to them. How dare you? You never tell a woman to grow some tits. It's not like a botany class. You know, you're not growing tomatoes on the porch. These are tits. You don't refer to them as growing things like that. You don't sprinkle Miracle Grow on them and all of a sudden they blossom. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, no, it actually wouldn't be. I happen to be one of those men who doesn't like really, really big breasts. And are you, by the way, are you uncomfortable that I'm talking about this? Oh my God, I forgot to ask you. Are you uncomfortable that I'm talking about this? No? Okay, good. Yeah, ones that are huge, I don't, that's like looking at somebody with an unbelievably large nose. I mean, that's not attractive to me. Things that are in proportion are attractive. I mean, that would be the definition of ultimate attraction, would be everything that you have is in perfect proportion in my mind. Perfect proportion is not, is not what you're, you know, too big. Cut them down. Give them to somebody else. Cut them down. Give them to somebody who doesn't have any, and then the world would be a more perfect place. That's what we call socialism. All right, that's enough. I've had it. I've had it as well. Do you know what? It's not just you. I've also had it.
They call him the big dog of the podcast world. And by they, I mean him. He calls himself the big dog of the podcast world. But thankfully, at least he stopped referring to himself in the third person because that shit was getting annoying. Carry on, big dog. It's all about you, big dog.
Hey, you thinking of getting divorced?
Hi, I'm Steve Miller. I've been a trial lawyer in Florida and Massachusetts since 1985. If you and your spouse hate each other like poison and want to get out of the hellhole you call a marriage, you've come to the right place. Look, you can waste your money screwing around with some paper pusher paralegal type, give thousands of dollars to some piece of crap three-piece suit downtown, blow your brains out trying to figure out why you wasted 25 bucks on the crappy forms you bought from the illiterate boob at the courthouse, or do what I say and do it now. We know what we're doing here. Look at this website, a work of art. Here's the story. Pay us a little and we get you a lot. Don't worry about the details. We'll take care of business and let you know when to crack open the champagne. Okay, time to move on. Go to the Get the Divorce page in the upper right corner, pay up, and you're on your way to getting rid of that vermin you call a spouse. We're here to help. Divorce EZ, a Florida law firm.
One is real, one a fantasy.
This is a all-female rock group called The Misses. They were on the show about 6 months ago, and this is one of their highlight key bestseller songs. These are all moms who have gotten together because they're freaking bored raising their kids and not getting out of the house, and they put together this rock group, and they're pretty cool. Be a nice mom to be, a singing mom. Nice. Very sweet. We're going to speak to a guy who is a trainer on The World's Biggest Loser, I think. I don't know. I could have my notes wrong. I usually do. Why would this be any different? He has started, I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm confusing him with somebody else. I don't know. He'll correct me when I talk to him. He's holding on, and I apologize to him. He started this thing that they go all across the country and with these obstacle courses, and they're called mudders. I don't know. Tough mudder. He's a tough mudder. And they're doing really well. This is something I would never do, by the way. This is an example of something I would never do. I would never run an obstacle course. thank you very much. But I would not. Thank you. He wasn't with The World's Biggest Loser. I'm confusing him with somebody else. I'm The World's Biggest Loser. It has nothing to do with weight. Self-deprecating humor. You can't go wrong. I think he's calling from England or something. Ladies and gentlemen, Tough Mudder. Tough Mudder?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Will. Will Dean is the CEO and founder of Tough Mudder Incorporated. Nice name. I like that name. Tough Mudder. I like Tough Mudder. Hey, thanks for being with us. We're talking.
No, thank you for having me.
Pleasure.
We appreciate it.
We're talking about, in general, New Year's resolutions, and one of them for many people is A, to lose weight, and B, to get more exercise. None of those are mine, by the way. But you have come up with a very interesting company concept that gets people involved in moving their bodies in a fun way.
That's exactly right. And I Tough Mudder is not a race, it's a challenge. It's about teamwork and camaraderie. Mm-hmm. People do it as part of a team, and they challenge themselves, but they get through it together. And I have two things to say, two pieces of advice for your listeners,
yeah,
if they want to try and keep their New Year's resolutions. The first is commit to a goal. Don't just say, hey, I want to lose a little bit of weight. Say something like, no, I want to come and do a Tough Mudder, and I'm going to train for that, and I'm going to get through that this summer. It doesn't have to be a Tough Mudder.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to think that Tough Mudder is a great goal for people.
Uh-huh.
And the other one, and I think this is the reason that Tough Mudder has been so successful in changing literally millions of people's lives in the last 6 years, is make it social, buddy up. And by creating a team and doing an event together,
yeah,
you create that mutual support network. You hold each other accountable, and you can't just say in the summer, you know what, I didn't do my training, I'm going to limp out of this thing. Because you're doing it together, because you're holding each other accountable, research shows you're far more likely to achieve your fitness goals if you do an event like a Tough Mudder that's about teamwork, and if you do something that's more individualistic, like a marathon or a triathlon. So my two pieces of advice are, first of all, commit to a goal, and secondly, do it as part of a team.
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing it as a team, I mean, my goodness, then you're out to win and you're out to achieve, and so you feel an added responsibility, and hey, my goodness, I just exercise and even realize it.
That's exactly right. And it's fun. You know, Tough Mudder is supposed to be fun. Yes. And I think, you know, one of the big myths about a Tough Mudder is you have to be an elite athlete to do it. Yes, you have to be able to run a couple of miles, but you don't need to be, you know, in the gym for 4 hours a day to come and do a Tough Mudder.
Yeah. Do you have something that is not so Tough Mudder, like a bitchy sister or something, you know, that's a little less?
We wouldn't call it that. But so, you know, one of the things we're excited by this year is we're launching the Tough Mudder Half. And, you know, as the name might suggest, it's half the distance. Well, a regular Tough Mudder is 10 to 12 miles. The Tough Mudder Half is 5 miles. And we've taken out two of the obstacles. We've taken out electroshock therapy, which is the one where we zap you with electricity. And we've taken out Arctic Enema, which is the dumpster full of ice.
So,
in addition to the 60 regular full Tough Mudders, we also have 9 Tough Mudder halves this year as well. Still all around teamwork and camaraderie, still not a race, still about getting people together to accomplish goals as part of a team. So very much the same values, but perhaps a slightly more accessible event.
Has anybody said to you, you know, you're crazy?
Well, you know, I came up with the idea of Tough Mudder not so far away when I was a student at the Harvard Business School several years ago, and all my professors said, "Will, this is a terrible idea. Yes. People will not pay to run in the mud." And you know, what do Harvard Business School professors know? Because 2 million people have done the event worldwide since then.
That is funny. Wow. And I guess it is fun. I mean, people really want to do that stuff, and there was no organized place for them to do that kind of thing with all different kind of obstacles. So I guess you satisfied a need.
I think we did. And if I may, you know, I'd like to talk about the fact we have our event at Mount Snow up in West Dover, Vermont. Price for that event right now are $139. The earlier you sign up, the cheaper it is. The Vermont event sells out every single year, so it's better to sign up your team sooner rather than later. And that's on June 18th and 19th this year. And again, that's at Mount Snow, Vermont.
Now, if someone doesn't have it to come up with a team, can you team them with people?
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that you'll find if you come to one of our events, and I'm sure many of your listeners will have done our event, is when you get there, actually, you know, it's not just a team of six that you came with. It's one big team. Everyone's helping everyone through the obstacles. And our obstacles are designed to be about teamwork. Some of them, you literally can't do them on your own.
Yeah.
Now, each year at Tough Mudder, we change up the obstacles. You know, we bring out new obstacles because a lot of people have done our event, and they say, that was great, but I'm looking for something new, a new challenge. So every year, we redesign our courses, different routes, but really importantly, new obstacles. So this year, our signature obstacle that we're launching for 2016 is the Block Ness Monster. The Block Ness Monster, we tested through the winter. It had the highest ever satisfaction of any obstacle this year. And what it is a series of big blocks in waist-high water, and they spin around, and you have to jump on them, and then other people have to flip the block over, and it dunks you in the water on the other side. We also have Frequent Flyers Club, which is a repeater-only obstacle. You get to do that instead of electroshock therapy.
Yes.
Electroshock therapy is a great obstacle, rather like getting married, most people only want to do it once. And so once you've done that obstacle, once you get to do Frequent Flyers Club instead, which involves shimmying out on a pole that's high up in the air, you grab your new headband, and then you swing down onto a crash mat beneath you. So we that's another thing that we have new for 2016. And on top of that, we have a new sponsor in Merrill who are providing our tech shirt. So every single person that does a Tough Mudder gets a shirt included in their entry fee, and they get a Shock Top beer at the finish line as well. Because, as I said, Tough Mudder is a challenging event, but it isn't just for elite athletes, and we do believe it's important to have fun and kick back when you've done it.
Yeah. Can anybody watch the activities, or is it spread out over a course to the point where you can't literally watch these things?
We purposely set them up in a way that make them very spectator friendly.
You can
come out to the event. You know, we encourage people to bring their friends and family along. And we have a children's event as well. We have the Mini Mudder, which is brought to you by Fruit Shoots, the Fruit Shoots Mini Mudder. Yeah. And that's an event targeted at children as well. So they get a chance to try out some mini versions of the obstacles and challenge themselves and have fun as well. So, you know, there's something for all of the family. And, of course, we have music and food and all that other good stuff at our events as well.
So I assume with the children there's no shock therapy.
There is no electricity for the children. That's exactly right.
Okay. At least you're correct in that sense. It sounds fascinating. How would somebody hook up with you in order to get this thing going and to sign up for these things and get more information?
Yep. So we go to our website in the United States. That's toughmudder.com. Again, toughmudder.com. That has details of all 60 events that we're hosting worldwide, including the event I just mentioned up in Vermont on June 16th and 17th.
Perfect.
This year. And on top of all of that, there's also a bunch of information as to how you can train for a Tough Mudder. As I said, you do need to be able to run a few miles, but you don't need to be an elite athlete to get around the event. And we've built a whole bunch of training programs for people at different levels of fitness to ensure that they can get through the event this summer.
Fascinating is the word that I'm using here. And thank you so much for your time today, Will.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on. And again, our website, toughmudder.com. We look forward to seeing you all this summer.
Great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
It was unbelievably painful.
I agree. We're just about out of time, ladies and gentlemen. I wish I could be with you longer, but I don't think it's a two-way street, so my wish shall be my own command. But fear not, my lady, I shall return again tomorrow at whence same time doth appeareth today, at which time I shall be loadeth with more entertaineth, and this lisp should be gone by then as well. I do wish you just be really careful, okay? Just the only advice I can give you in day-to-day life, and of course the only purpose you would ever want to exist is to listen to my advice. Just be observant. Make sure that your eyes are constantly working. And if you're blind, make sure that your smell is constantly keen. Make sure that you have eyes in the back of your head. And if you have long hair, of course, that's ridiculous. You'd have to put your hair up in order to see. And when women put their hair up in buns, you know how you feel about that. I think it's absolutely disgusting. You look like a knob. You look like something with a knob on the top of your head, you know. Anyway, always be observant. Know where you're going. Don't fall into manholes and trip on cracks and things like that. And, you know, always be aware and always listen. Always listen. The smartest people in our world are the people that listen. They absorb the comments and the feels and the attitudes of everyone and everything around them. They can hear the birds chirping and they know that they are content and happy and are being fed and going about their business. And when you hear children playing, you know that they've really got to cut that out because you can't sleep with that racket. You're very aware of your environment. That's how you thrive in this type of experience that we call a life. Ladies and gentlemen, if I can impart one piece of wisdom upon you, it would be simply to make sure that you are constantly observant and constantly aware of what goes on around you. It is the key to success. It is why entrepreneurs become preneurs. And it is people that are blind to their environment are the ones that are blind in their lives and do not get the full enjoyment of that experience and that journey. If I make sense to you, then there's something radically wrong with you. In any event, have yourselves a wonderful day, and I do wish you peace. Tomorrow, do we have a date? We do? Oh, cool. Hey, if you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can email us at Ron Van Dam Show, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. That's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts, an idea of what you'd like me to discuss, any hoops you would like me to jump through, that kind of thing. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Simple and yet tasteful.
Whatever.